Welcome, Bulldog fans, to a semifinal victory edition of the Drake Basketball Podcast. Your Bulldogs emerged victorious over the Belmont Bruins 57-50 in another thrilling edition of Arch Madness. Down in St. Louis, we go to our field correspondent, the third member of the DBP, Mr. Dolph Pulliam.
The Drake Bulldogs had to come from a 9-point deficit in the first half to beat Belmont 50-57 in a thriller of a basketball game here in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament in St. Louis. Belmont goes into the dressing room at the half with a 9-point lead of the Bulldogs, 30-21. But in the second half, the Bulldogs came out of the dressing room playing a tenacious belly button defense and held Belmont to only 20 points in the second half for that 57-50 win. For the Bulldogs, Manayu had 4 points, Abreu 7, Jackson 6, Mascari 1, Banks 8, Howard 9, and Sturge 24. For Belmont, only one player was in double figures, and that was Sam Ormey. He had 13 points for Belmont. Well, now the Bulldogs goes into the finals of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament tomorrow morning, and they will be playing Valparaiso or Bradley. For Drake Basketball Podcast, this is Dolph Pulliam at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament in St. Louis. Go Bulldogs!
Nothing like getting a Dolph report on another Bulldog victory in Arch Madness. This was a gutty win for Drake on Saturday, you know, taking the 57-50 win over Belmont, at 1 point down 12 in the game, Tucker. But the Bulldogs came through. This will be now the fifth straight championship appearance for Drake in the MVC tournament. And I think it all has to start with our player of the year, the best player in the conference, Bennett Sturts.
Yeah, 24 points, 4 steals, 5 rebounds, only 1 assist. I mean, that's a knock. Bennett, you've got to step it up. Come on.
Selfish.
Selfish play. Can't have that. No, Bennett was incredible. I tweeted at one point in the game, shortly after the half, here comes Larry, because it really just, it does sort of feel like in the Avengers when Thanos comes out and he says, "I am inevitable." That's the vibes you get when Bennett starts to go on his runs.
How spoiled have Drake fans been having a player previously like Tucker DeBreeze, and now you have a player like Bennett Sturts of just, at any point, this guy can say, "I'm the best player on the floor, and I'm going to make it known." I thought in the first half, you know, when Drake was down 12, I was still good with it because Bennett was being aggressive. I think there were some times this year, you know, you look at like the Murray State loss or the Bradley loss, and I know Bennett might have been under the weather for that one, where I personally felt, well, sometimes Bennett is too unselfish and he doesn't force it enough. And I think he made it a point today, like, no, if things start turning, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to keep looking for my shot. And, you know, to come out of the into the second half with, I'm going to take a three splash, I'm going to take this guy off the dribble and hit a jumper and then get the and one, you know, those 8 points right off the bat were massive and really got Drake back into it.
Yeah, Bennett said, if we're going down, we're going down on my terms. I'm certainly not going down without a fight. And you saw him just start to throw haymakers at Casey Alexander's bunch. And before we dive too deep into this, I just have to give some credit to the Belmont Bruins. We've given them a lot of crap on this podcast about their defense or lack thereof this season. But I thought they showed a ton of grit and a ton of heart and hustle this game. From start to finish, they really laid it all out there on the defensive end, and it made you wonder how they let Valpo hit the century mark on them.
No, they're especially, I mean, the second half too, to be honest, but that first half, like, Drake could not get into the lane. They could not get in the paint. They were blowing everything up. We ended up, I don't know how many times, just shooting like a random fadeaway three or jumper at the end of the shot clock. Like, their defense was on point, and we have made fun of them throughout the season for not playing defense. And today, you know, their attention and their focus was really good. Like you said, I mean, they came out ready. Talk me through, what were you feeling when Drake was down 12 in the first half and struggling to get going against Belmont?
Well, there's the reactionary side of you as a fan that wants to go, oh my God, this guy is falling, this guy is falling. But then you just sort of have to stop and think, hold on a second, what's our record? Okay. And how much have we lost those games by? Okay. That means we're probably a pretty good team. And chances are we're probably going to be all right in this one. Law of averages typically balance out. And so I, at that point, I just had to sort of talk to myself and say, you know what, Tucker, I got a feeling the dog's going to come back in this one. They're extremely well coached. They're a hard-nosed group with a lot of players that stick together who play well. And I assume that Ben McCollum is going to make some adjustments at halftime, and they're going to fight through this. And to what we talked about earlier with Belmont's defense, I hadn't seen them play with that level of defensive intensity all season long. And so a part of me was wondering how long they could sustain that defensive intensity, because that's not something that is easy to maintain throughout the course of a ball game, especially if it's not something that you do on a regular basis. And I think especially as things started to go against them in the second half and Drake started to make their run, you did see them start to loosen up a little bit on that end. They weren't sticking quite as tight to their men as they were in the first half. They were getting a little bit lax in their defensive principles, and things started to open up more.
No, they really did. I mean, Drake definitely did not panic. You know, being down 9 at the half, you kind of assumed, hey, Drake is gonna hang in there and they're gonna come back. And look, there were a lot of really, really important contributors on this one. You know, I thought Isaiah Jackson was just the dog. I mean, you're not gonna see it on the box score, but again, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Just the fact that he's still willing to be aggressive, you know, he's coming down the lane and he's like, I'm going up for my shot. You know, if I get fouled, I get fouled. You know, ended up the day with 6 points, had some key steals, and just played with good intensity.
Avery Johnson on the broadcast was like, why would I dish that back to Maniow? I was like, no, screw that. Go
no,
for it.
And
I'm glad Isaiah went up for that.
Right. And that's exactly right. I mean, he definitely had that mindset of like, I'm not afraid to shoot free throws. I'm not afraid to get fouled. I'm not afraid to go up with it. And I really appreciate that from Isaiah, because again, you can get down on yourself on, hey, I'm not the best 3-point shooter, or at times, you know, teams aren't defending me, but that doesn't mean he can't bring it with his defensive intensity, with his on ball defending. And I just really thought Isaiah played a good game. And speaking of Isaiah's, once again, Isaiah Howard, only 17 minutes today and still gave us 9 points off the bench, you know, hit that big three in the second half. Another really good performance by him. If you're looking at areas of concern, you know, Abreu and Mascheri, again, you know, quiet games. So score is 50-50, about 2 minutes left or minute and a half or so. Bennett steps back for one of his patented threes, rims in and out. What was your reaction in that moment in time?
Well, at first I was naturally just like, step back from Bennett, it's money. Then when it was short, Cam was there to clean it up. I just had to clap extremely loud and aggressively because my voice is a little bit shot right now, so I can't scream like I usually do. So I just have to settle for extremely loud, repetitive clapping, which I'm sure my neighbors are fond of. But yeah, huge moment. Cam, I thought, really set the tone for a rebounding standpoint in that second half. Helping to change Belmont's dominance on the glass, because Belmont really controlled the boards in the first half and Drake did a much better job of battling back in the second.
Rebounds were a big part in the game. Drake is the best rebounding team in the Valley. You know, on the day, Belmont still with a 34-27 advantage, which is very rare for Drake. I mean, they did a great job there. The Bruins did. But like you said, Cam, 7 rebounds on the day, honestly felt like 14. Like, he had some major rebounds down the stretch and none bigger than the offensive rebound and putback. It has to be said, though, I mean, there is a little bit of luck sometimes involved in these close games. And that's the stuff that you can't really control. You hope it goes your way, but, you know, it's 52-50. Belmont draws a beautiful play in the corner for Jonathan Pierre, and he just misses a wide open three.
Yeah. But then also, in terms of luck, Sam Orm gets rejected beautifully by Cam Manuel, and it just happens to bounce straight down, and it turns into a wide-open layup for Belmont. So there's a two-point swing back the other way.
Right, and it wasn't just the Pierre miss. Then Lumblade also had a beautiful look after Bennett hits two free throws to go up four, and he missed. So the thing I'll say there is, yeah, you give up two wide open threes. Belmont can capitalize, but again, the rebounds, right? Like, you're not having a great rebounding day, but just being able to close out possessions in key moments, again, huge for Drake. So one thing that I'm sure people are going to zero in on, not only Drake fans, but Valley fans. Well, one, the technical foul on Casey Alexander late in the game, but two, any thoughts on the free throw disparity in the game? Belmont, 3 of 6, Drake, 19 of 25.
Yeah, I mean, Belmont is a three-point shooting team. They're definitely more active from the outside. They went 7 of 26 from the three-point line for the game. A lot of their game is predicated on shooting long-range jump shots, whereas Drake focuses much more heavily on getting in the paint. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me. In terms of the technical free throw, I didn't understand why Casey Alexander was freaking out to begin with, because the defender clearly had his arm threaded through and underneath Bennett's as he was trying to go up with the ball. So it was a pretty blatant foul call. And then he chucked his clipboard while screaming. And so not much of a plot twist when the ref called a T on it.
Yeah, so watching it live, I'll take you through how I reacted to that play. It's a tough call. I get it. It's end of the shot clock. They do foul Bennett. You're frustrated. Then you see Casey Alexander gets teed up. My initial reaction was, hey, come on, man. Like, it's a tough call. You got to let the coach air it out. Then they show the replay. The dude chucks his whiteboard as he's yelling at the ref. Like, instant tee. Like, what are you doing? Just don't chuck your thing, dude. Like, you can yell and you can be upset. So at first I was like, okay, Belmont is probably, you know, they're probably getting the short end of the stick. Then I saw the instant replay and I'm like, yeah, no, sorry, buddy. That's an instant technical.
Yeah. And then even to balance it out further, the refs gave them a call on the next possession.
Yep. Yep.
I don't remember who it was on. It might have been.
I think it was Walker was driving it. Like, he caught the ball and got minimally bumped by Cam, and it was a 1-1, so he got to go and shoot two free throws. So kind of balanced out in that way. But yeah, I mean, I'm just pointing it out. You know, this is the Drake Basketball Podcast, but you know, we do pride ourselves in giving the straight analysis as we see it live.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Belmont in this game. They were light years better than they were in Des Moines. Mm-hmm. It looked like a completely different team. Like, Drake just, that was one of Drake's very few blowout wins this season. Like, because of the pace of play that Drake plays with, you don't see a lot of 20-point wins from the Bulldogs, but they ran Belmont out of the gym. So to be down 12 and to see Belmont come out with that sort of defensive intensity and knocking down shots from the outside, I was like, wow, we've got a challenge on our hands. So see the Bulldogs rise to meet that challenge and emerge victorious to advance to yet another Drake Day in St. Louis. It's exciting. So now the challenge is we have to try to become the first Valley One seed to win the tournament since Loyola. And
you know, you say Drake Day in St. Louis, you know, used to be Drake Night was Thursday. It's pretty incredible that this is the fifth straight championship appearance for the Bulldogs in St. Louis. I believe no one has won it three straight times in 20 plus years, right? Something like that. I mean, so it's been a long time since that's happened. Someone can fact check me on it. I think I saw the last team to do it was Southern Illinois in the early 2000s. But on the Belmont side, can't stress it enough because I agree with you. I thought they played really well. One thing that you and I were messaging that I was kind of glass half full in the first half, even though we were down, like, Drake was still defending pretty well. And again, just incredible. I know we play a slower pace, but Belmont averages 80 points a game. Drake holds them to 50 on the day, 20 points in the second half. I mean, that's incredible. And that's that's the foundation of the team, right? It's defense, it's getting stops. To do that to a really talented Belmont team that really prides itself on playing with pace and scoring. Again, just can't stress how much Drake fought to get this win, and you know, really, really had a grind to get it to Sunday for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so now all that's left is to wait and see who we will face on Sunday. Will it be the Bradley Braves or the upstart Valparaiso Beacons? I would assume it's going to be Bradley. I think Valpo will most likely run out of gas and whatever magic powder they were using against you and I. But who knows? You know, maybe Roger Powell have him fired up. As we know, it's going to be difficult for Brian to do the nobody believes in us when they're playing against Valpo, who's the first 11 seed in the history of the tournament to make it this far.
Tucker, nobody believes, okay? Nobody believes. Doubt them. Just doubt them, okay?
How are they going to prove I'm wrong?
You know, all kidding aside, Bradley would be, they'd be so dumb to overlook Valpo. Yeah, they're gonna run out of energy, but the reality is, all right is playing incredible. Cooper Schweiger is playing out of his head. If they can get 40 points out of them again, they can make it a game. But I'm with you. I imagine Valpo might hang around for a while, and then it will be Bradley once again for the third time this season. Anything that you want to say in terms of things to look out for, or you know, keys to the game with a potential rematch with Bradley?
Listen, by this point, we know who they are. They know who we are. I mean, from an X's and O's standpoint, Duke Dean has stepped up lately. Will Drake be able to contain him as they did in the first matchup, or will he be able to continue his winning ways that he has struck on as of late? Will Bradley defensively be able to limit Bennett Sturts as they did in the first two meetings? So far this season, they're the only team that's been able to do that. So I think at one point this year, Bennett was accounting for 70% of Drake points scored, whether it be through scoring them or assisting them. So obviously he plays a huge role in everything that Drake does, and their ability to limit him played a big role in the outcome of that second game. So I'll be interested to see what it looks like if we do match up with Bradley. But yeah, I'm confident in Ben McCollum's ability to make adjustments. He's seen Brian Wardle's bunch twice now. I think the Bulldogs are disciplined enough, and I frankly think that Drake is the better team.
Yeah, the Bennett one is the biggest one. I mean, his two worst offensive outputs of the season came against Bradley. You know, I expect him to be more aggressive and to play better. On the flip side, Mitch has had two really good games against Bradley. Obviously, only 7 points so far in the tournament for Mitch. Bradley has struggled to keep him contained. So hopefully Mitch can get going tomorrow, and hopefully you see a little bit better version of Bennett. But I think with Bradley, like you said, I mean, we know exactly who they are. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be tight, and you just got to grind out possessions. And I think the margins matter a lot against Bradley. And what I mean by that is, you know, can you limit on their end, like, hey, can you limit Isaiah Howard not scoring 8 instead scoring 4? And same goes with us. Like, can you limit, you know, Jaquan Johnson only getting 4 points instead of 8, or, you know, Jonovich, you know, not allowing, you know, easy layups? Like, those kinds of details matter a lot in games that are tight like Bradley. The other thing I would say is I think this is a massive game for Drake. You know, it's been a terrific season, regular season champs, you know, 29-3, all of that. But the reality is that Drake continues to be the standard in the NBC. And if you want to set that standard, like, you have to win these games. And they have been. And tomorrow is going to be another great opportunity to continue to make that the standard for Drake. So I can't stress it enough.
You know, here on the DBP, we take it one game at a time. And that's what we've been doing all season. And you know, that's what Bradley's doing as well. Here's an example of a tweet from one of their fans that I just pulled up. He says, "They'll say Bradley had the easy path to the Valley title. I'm not overlooking Valpo at all, but let me tell you something. When we ransack them by 20 plus tomorrow, don't cry when we beat Drake by 10 plus in the title game.
Hey, you know, if that's how their fan base wants to play it, good for them. We've been very much locked into one game at a time. And guess what? The game tomorrow is Bradley. So it's time to lock in. Let's get that championship tomorrow.
Let's do it. Lock in. Drake Day in St. Louis. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.